The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, America. Happy Friday to all of you. Whew. I tell you what, you ever get to Friday morning and you think to yourself, just a few more hours, make it to the weekend? That's kind of how I feel, even though Congress wasn't even in session today. They are back on Tuesday, but we have plenty to talk about, and I'm excited to bring my guests to this podcast. First off, we have Congressman Ralph Norman from the great state of South Carolina. He's one of my favorite Congress people to have on the show. We're going to talk about that FISA bill that, thank goodness, tanked in the House on Wednesday. We are going to talk about the economy and a whole lot more. I also, after that, have Tim Murtaugh. You might know that name. He worked for President Trump. He was one of his campaign advisors in 2016. And when it comes to political masterminding and strategy, he quite frankly is one of the best ones. And he, you might not know, struggled with alcoholism and went through some really, really hard times. And he put a book out, and it's a story about redemption and recovery and hope and grace. And I am so excited to share that interview with you because I think it's important. And I also think you should go out and check out his book. And then we're going to close things off with Dejana Gugic. She is an actress out here in Los Angeles. I know her through a group of friends, and she, guess what? She loves America. And she was in Hollywood for a long time trying to make her way and make success for herself. And she was doing quite well. But she decided that she wanted to be in control of her own destiny. And she also knew that her values for loving America, her values for loving freedom, they didn't line up with Hollywood. So she wanted to go out on her own. So that is what she's doing. I'm going to talk to her about her new movie, Out. And we're going to talk to those folks on just the other side of this break. We're going to listen to a few commercials, and then I'll see you on the other side.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We have freedom fighters in Congress like our first guest tonight who will never allow our constitutional rights to be infringed, and that includes our Fourth Amendment, the very amendment that specifically protects we the people from unreasonable searches and seizures by the government. And just 2 days ago, several members serving in the Republican-led House voted with their colleagues to block the reauthorization of Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, better known as FISA. These conservative members of Congress got a big boost just hours before the vote when former President Donald Trump posted a thread that said to kill FISA on his Truth Social account. And tonight, our first guest of the evening is one of those 19 Republicans who helped block the reauthorization. He is South Carolina Congressman Ralph Norman, and he joins us now. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, my honor to be with you, Amanda, and thank you for what you do. And it was an easy vote. That wasn't even a question to, you know, you protect and defend the Constitution. And everybody, if somebody comes to your house or my house, they have to have a warrant, search warrant to search your house. And it's interesting, the revisions that the intel community of all committees wanted to go against the Judiciary Committee, which has the jurisdiction over FISA. But luckily, we defeated the rule. I'm on Rules Committee. I voted for it to come out of Rules. But the more you looked at it, when it hit the floor, I said, I'm not going to be a part of it. So it was the right vote for me, and I think it's the right vote for the country.
I think so, too. But if I know anything, it is that when the swamp wants to overreach, they are extremely tenacious. I know that they are not going to stop fighting for that precious 702 allowances. What is going to be the next step of blocking this, or at least getting that search warrant requirement in there?
Well, we made it pretty clear to Speaker Johnson the warrant is a big thing we have to have. You probably will hear about instead of a 5-year time frame to reduce that to 2 years, so it will hopefully be in the middle of the Trump administration, and he can make further enhancements to it, or we can, and he can lead the fight on it. But, you know, for your listeners, what's unbelievable, guess who they had a carve out for when it came down to searching Americans and querying them? Congress. In other words, they were going to notify congressmen that they were going under the gun as far as being having your whole life searched out. And they notified congressmen, but not the American people. Why is Congress any different than the American people? We're not. So I'm glad we stopped it. We get the 2-year, hopefully instead of a 5-year to deal with, we'll have warrants. And the Davidson Amendment, which will probably be a standalone bill when it comes to the rules, will have an up or down vote on whether government can sell to sell the information that they get, which they shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah. Well, and to what you were saying, I remember the same thing with Obamacare. It seems like when they are screwing the American people the hardest, they got to create a carve out for Congress because they know that it's not going to fly. I wanted to ask you, speaking of Congress, the White House put out a pretty deceptive tweet because members of Congress, a lot of people know, also run businesses. You have to do both at the same time, and therefore during COVID, you were also affected by the pandemic. And the White House tweeted this, identifying some Republicans in Congress. By the way, there were plenty of Democrats too, but they're not included on their graphic. But Republicans who accepted PPP loans. I just want to give you a clear runway to respond to this, sir.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. This is a misrepresentation. The PPP loans were given because of a government-ordered shutdown. And the fact that we run hotels, we own hotels, that the whole purpose of the PPP was to keep employees on the payroll so they can feed their families. And if it ever went for those salaries that it wasn't included, like house payments or anything else, it was a loan. So it was paid employees during the shutdown, and it was the right thing to do at the right time. Now, what Biden is trying to make the analogy for is the loan forgiveness, where, the PPP went through Congress. He's doing this through an executive order, which is paying loans off for people who, you know, they entered into a deal where they borrowed money, they went to a college, regardless of where they went. Biden is doing this just for votes, as he's doing it for opening up our borders, which is endangering our country. But no, I don't apologize for the PPP loans. They were used in a right manner. And all of my colleagues he has up there were in the same position that I was, some more than others. But it was the right thing to do, and the country suffered for it during this government-ordered shutdown.
I want to zoom in on something you mentioned, because you're exactly right. It is an extremely false equivalency between the PPP loans and the student loan forgiveness, which I hate the term forgiveness because somebody always pays the loan. It's either the person who lended it or the person who took it or someone else. In this case, it's the taxpayers. But do you think that Joe Biden is deciding to do this, obviously circumventing Congress and the federal court system, because he's seen the polling with youth and he's getting concerned?
I think he is. He's now, whether he understands, whether he's concerned or not, I have no idea. I know his handlers are the ones who are basically telling him what to do are very concerned because his poll numbers reflect the poor job he's done. What can he run on, Amanda, that has been successful for America? Nothing. He's got a dismal record, and it's showing up in the polling. So he's trying to justify everything he's doing. He cannot justify the unleashing of illegals into this country. He cannot justify the crime that's going on with basically no consequences. And he's grasping at straws, but that doesn't surprise me.
Sir, one of the most pressing issues that I think is crushing most Americans, unless you are in the very top bracket of earners in this country, you are being crushed by the price of goods and services. Both inflation and CPI are very dangerously flirting with 20%, 18 and 19%. You've got eggs that are up 52%. Beef is up 24%. Gas is up 42% here in California. It's up a whole heck of a lot more than that. New and used cars up 21%. I know that immigration is going to be the number one issue, but I have to think this is just, I feel like it's an arms race with immigration to be the number one issue.
What the Biden administration is doing is crushing the American taxpayer, the American citizen. He is unleashing a fury that we haven't seen before, I know, in my lifetime. Name me one thing. Anything that has come down in price, it hasn't. It's only gone up. And the fact that he continues to do this is he's unhinging America, and he's making it impossible for that family to feed their families, send their children to give them an education. So many things that he's intentionally doing. He knows his handlers know what they're doing. And Amanda, this doesn't even touch the regulations that he's putting on businesses. His answer to everything, the Biden administration, is more taxes, more regulations, strangle the small business, and he's doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Sir, when we were going through the appropriations and budgeting process for fiscal year 2024, you and a number of your conservative colleagues were champions of putting out tweets of some of the most ridiculous earmarks in that, what was it, $1.2 trillion package. And one of the things that was in there that a lot of Americans might not have realized is that there were $380 billion in border security for Middle East countries. Why not our own border?
For Jordan. Imagine that, building a wall of money we do not have for foreign countries. Same thing about the $200 million for the brand new FBI building that's rogue right now. And you know, what about the private just giveaways to particular cities? And what we're probably going to be voting on, the federal government wants to build a bridge in Baltimore because they think it's somehow the federal government's responsibility. Again, we don't have the money, and that's not the 10th Amendment. And the state's rights, and the states have the obligation to handle that affair. And, you know, the problem is I don't see any end in sight for the next 7.5 months. And the problem, and we mentioned the border, where is intel? Why aren't they singing from the rooftops about the illegals that are making this intelligence, you know, unheard of? They're the ones that are going to cause the issues in this country. The 20,000 Chinese nationals that are here, you know, our security is at risk. But all of these combined with the American paychecks are basically dwindling down 30% and 40%. Credit card debt is up. And we're giving away money in places that we shouldn't be giving it. And this administration change couldn't come quick enough. Donald Trump has got to be elected or we lose our democracy.
Yeah, I think it's do or die this time around. And I mean it. I know we say it every time, but I really do think that's the case this time around. Sir, we've got about a minute left. Speaker Johnson, I was hoping he would find his sea legs. I don't know if he ever did. And it certainly seems like they are wavering at this point. What do you think is the future for him as speaker?
Well, Mike is a good man. I do not support the motion to vacate now. That's what the Democrats would love. They would try to cut a deal to get some leverage to save Speaker Johnson. I hope it doesn't come to the floor for a vote. And it's just, look, we've got 7.5 more months to concentrate on getting this administration out of office and putting a true American in office. And so I hope Mike will fight more. I would love nothing more, as an example, for him to put H.R. 2 on at the Senate, pass, get it to them, and then us go home. And until they come back with a strict border control policy, as I would this spending that's out of control. So we'll see. But hopefully Mike will be there and can finish the term.
We're going to listen to a few commercials, and then I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. America is famous for its inspiring comeback stories and tales of second chance opportunities that turn into redemption. And Tim Murtaugh is one of our nation's premier communications campaign consultants. But it wasn't always like that for him. A pernicious drinking problem that began before college ultimately led him to wake up in a Fairfax County jail one morning in 2015. A rock bottom moment that served as the starting point for his comeback story. And if we rewind just over 4 years ago, Tim was serving in a leadership role on the 2020 reelection campaign for the President of the United States. And this inspiring story is the subject of Murtaugh's Amazon best-selling book entitled Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, which includes stories from his 2 years as communications director, as well as including entertaining anecdotes of handling a hostile media, navigating the 2019 pandemic, readying for highly anticipated debates, and life on the most watched campaign in modern American history. I am so excited to be joined now by the author of this best-selling book, Tim Murtaugh. Tim, welcome to the show and congratulations on the book.
Well, thank you very much. That's quite an introduction, and congratulations to you on this new show. I hope it's going well.
Thank you. Well, I love your story. I love a comeback story. If I took my top 10 movies out there, almost all of them would be incredible, inspiring stories of redemption. And that is yours. That is your story. Tell us a little bit more than what I prefaced at the beginning.
Well, thank you very much. I would say that this is probably unlike any book written by a political person that anybody has read. It's about politics, yeah, and it's about my work in politics and largely on the 2020 Trump campaign where I was communications director, as you said. And I tell a lot of stories in the book that have never been published before and that nobody's ever heard before. And I think if you're a political junkie, you might find those things interesting. But the other part of the book, you know, people, I just said the word junkie, so that reminds me of addiction. And so that's a different story entirely. The other half of the book is about my decades-long struggle with alcohol. That was my drug of choice. And as you just said, I went from waking up in jail in Fairfax County, Virginia on May 16th, 2015, not knowing exactly how I was going to get out of the mess that I was in. It was absolutely the lowest point in my life. It's not the first time I had been in jail, but it was, in fact, the last time. As of today, and less than 4 years after waking up in that jail cell in Fairfax County, Virginia, I was flying on Air Force One with President Trump. So it's a redemption story and it's a comeback story. And I was honest with the president and the Trump campaign before they hired me. And he likes a good comeback story. That's what I was told. And he blames alcohol for the death of his brother. And so he said, you know, look, he's doing great. That's not going to be a problem as long as he keeps it together. And I did. And I decided to write this book. I went to rehab 5 times. And every time I was in rehab, I would spend a lot of time in the bookstore. And I bought a lot of the titles that were by people who were telling their own stories about their addiction, about all the trouble they got into, and how they made it through. And when I was really struggling, those books helped me. And I decided that's the kind of book that I wanted to write. And if there is someone who is struggling with alcohol or any kind of addiction, and if they pick up this book, and here you showed the cover of it, but here it is again. If they pick up this book, and for the 10 minutes that they're flipping through it, if they don't pick up a drink in those 10 minutes, then it was worth writing it in the first place, even if I'll only sell just that one copy. You know, so thank you.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is one glaring aspect of your book to me that separates it from almost all other books written by folks in the political world, and that is humility. It takes a lot of humility to admit these types of struggles that we've had in the past. How hard was it for you to actually put some of this stuff on paper?
Well, you know, not all of the stories were a lot of fun to relive. You know, when I was trying to write and describe what it was like to wake up in the drunk tank at the Fairfax County Adult Correctional Center in Fairfax, Virginia, and realize where I was and what kind of trouble I was in. I'll tell you the situation that I was in. I was on probation already for my second of two DUIs, and I had been sentenced to 90 days in jail for that second DUI. I served 10 of the 90 and had 80 days suspended, and I was on probation for 3 years. If I got in any trouble during those 3 years, I was going to have to serve the remaining 80 days. So sure enough, on May 16th, 2015, I went out and got drunk again and got tagged with drunk in public or public intoxication, something like that. And that's when I woke up in that jail cell with a bunch of other people who were around me in there for similar things. And I realized if I get convicted of this, I'm going to violate probation and I'm going to go have to serve those 80 days. And my life would have been over. My career would have been over. I would have probably have lost my brand new wife. I think of my family was about fed up with me. And I knew that I had to get straightened out. And I got a really good lawyer and got some good advice, and I went to rehab again. I went and got the ignition interlock system put on my car. I went to a ton of AA meetings. I did about 100 hours of volunteer service at an animal shelter, and I went into court, and we told the prosecutor, look, I am serious. You're never going to see me here again. This was a really minor offense. And they elected not to prosecute that. I did not violate probation, didn't go to jail for 80 days, and I have never had another drink since. And all that stuff is not pleasant to relive. But helping me write it helped me stay sober during the period when I was writing it. And now talking to you, this is further. This helps me even further. So it helps me to do this. And I hope that there are addicts struggling who hear me, and maybe it helps them too.
Yeah, because Tim, I got to tell you, you have a whole lot more people now who are going to be holding you accountable. So that's your aim to remain.
That's the idea. Sure, sure.
I love that. I just wanted to ask because, you know, you have led such an incredible life, especially, you know, these last 5 years in politics. Well, gosh, I guess since then 9 years in politics, that you just exploded onto the scene as far as your political acumen. But along this path, along the rockier parts of the path, are there any decisions, any actions that you regret? Or do you feel like it all kind of led up to what you ultimately found was your purpose?
Well, you know, I mean, I would love to go back in time and prevent my drunk self from doing all the dumb things that I did. But, you know, in some way everything that happened to me was a lesson, you know, but it took me an awfully long time to learn them. You know, you'd think for a lot of people, getting one DUI would be enough of a wake up call. Getting two DUIs certainly would be enough of a wake up call, but that didn't do it for me. I had to keep going out and getting in trouble, and until I was finally, as I just described, finally faced with those 80 days in jail that would have just entirely ruined my life. So it took me. I got beat over the head with a lot of life lessons, and it had to happen over and over and over again before it finally stuck. And for me, finally, what worked was just absolute fear, because the fear of going to jail for basically 3 months that's what finally did it for me. And that's my sober date that day, May 16th, 2015, which I'm now coming up on 9 years. And I should say that I'm telling these stories on myself. And there's a lot of, you know, sometimes people might read these things and go, you know, how on earth did this guy even survive? You know, these are really dumb things that I do in this book. And sometimes I think people will read them. You don't have to be a drunk to appreciate how ridiculous they are. And this is not this is not going to teach anyone step by step, you know, steps 1 through 10 or 12, as it may be, as it were. It's not going to teach you. It's not a how-to manual about how to get sober. It's just my story, and people can take from it what they want. And I bet you if there are people who think that they might have a problem with drinking or drugs and or know that they do, they're going to see some things in here that remind them of themselves. And you know, maybe that helps. And that's the purpose of it.
Well, I think you have an incredible story, and I think that it is a very worthy read for anyone. I just think you have such amazing themes of redemption in your story. But I want to move on to your political mind, because you are so brilliant when it comes to political strategy. President Trump obviously out there on the campaign trail. He's also having to navigate courtrooms at the same time. But I will say, especially within the last 3 months, since the primaries began, he has seemed laser focused on policy and messaging. Do you have any advice for him as he's out there navigating it up until November?
Well, I mean, I can see what he's doing, and I'm going to reserve the advice giving for the people who he's currently paying to do that. But he's going to chart his own course as he always does. I think he's doing a fantastic job. I think he's ahead. A series of polls have come out that show him leading in all of the key battleground states. So I think that's really important. I think the way this shakes out sets up really nicely for Donald Trump, because it's obviously a rematch of the 2020 race. And people can see, because they've lived through it now, people are going to be able to compare for themselves, side-by-side comparison of the Trump presidency versus the Biden presidency. When Donald Trump was president, we were at peace. The United States was at peace. The world was a calmer place. People respected. And you know what? Our enemies feared the United States of America again. Our border was secure. Our economy, before COVID hit, our economy was going gangbusters. It was probably the best time to be an American in history. Now people have lived through the doldrums of the Biden year with the wide open border, the chaos down there. We have people being murdered, American citizens being murdered by illegal immigrants in different places around the country. The economy is in shambles. Just yesterday, new economic news, inflation is still running wild, crushing family budgets. People are laughing at us around the world. The world is erupting into flames. The whole situation is a mess, and Joe Biden has been a disaster. So I really think that all the many hundreds of millions of dollars that's about to be spent on television ads all over the place, Biden has got a really big problem on his hands. He's going to have to penetrate and try to convince people that the disaster that they have just lived through didn't really happen, and that things are awesome, even though they know that things are not awesome. So it's, you know, anything can happen. 7 months is a long time in an election. We didn't foresee the pandemic coming, for example, in 2020. Who knew that was going to happen? So you never know what's going to happen in 7 months. Yeah. But at this moment, it shapes up really nicely for Donald Trump.
We're going to listen to a few commercials, and then I'll see you on the other side.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back for the final time on this lovely Friday. One of the new movies that I am most looking forward to seeing this month is Impulse. It is a story of a journalist who begins investigating conspiracy theories related to a series of apparently isolated high-profile deaths. Her investigations pull her into the orbit of powerful media moguls, politicians, and Hollywood elites. I can't wait to watch it, and I'm thrilled to be joined now by the producer and star of Impulse, Diana Gudick. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Amanda. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm happy to have you, and I want to talk about the film for sure in just a moment, but I want to rewind a little and get to your origin story, because it's pretty incredible. Tell us about your upbringing.
So I was born in Yugoslavia, and 2 years later, a war started, and it broke the country apart into, you know, Croatia, Serbia, Bosnia, and more countries. And then as a little girl, I could never even imagine coming to America, let alone, you know, living in Hollywood and making my own movie and having the complete creative control to do what I want to do versus what other people want me to do and what they want me to talk about.
Yeah. Why was it so important to you to have creative control?
It was so important for me to have creative control because, you know, Hollywood is very one-sided and they definitely have an agenda here. So even at the beginning, I felt like maybe I am not for Hollywood. You know, I don't really fit the agenda. I don't really like to be controlled and told what I can and cannot say, or, you know, now the whole cancel culture. And so I was like, you know what? If I do my own thing, I can have full control of it and nobody will tell me what I can and cannot talk about. And so, you know, a lot of the conspiracy theories that everyone is talking about that kind of just somehow magically become true after a while, I touched on those in the movie. So I'm really, really excited to share them with your audience because I think this is the type of movie that they will like.
I think they will too. And you know, I think one of the things that sets you apart, one of the most glaring examples of that, and we haven't seen this in Hollywood for a very long time, but you love this country and we don't see that in Hollywood anymore.
Oh, I love this country so much. And I am so grateful to be in this country. You know, I think that a lot of immigrants have that same thought as I do, because we come from a place where we don't have freedom, you know, where we don't have opportunities like people do in this country. And I always say, Americans that don't like this country, I just tell them, please leave for a second, go to a third world country just for 24 hours, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you like it that much, then don't come back. Okay, I want to get back to the movie because I want to encourage everyone to go and see it. By the way, everybody, it is out April 30th, 2024. First of all, where can people find it? I know it's streaming and we've all gotten used to streaming movies and I love it that I don't even have to leave my living room. Tell everybody where they can find it.
Yes, amazing. You guys can watch it on Apple TV. It's available for pre-order right now, but like Amanda said, it comes out on April 30th.
Okay, so I want to get to the nitty-gritty and the business side of things because you are obviously beautiful and talented and you're an actress, but you are also a businesswoman and you are the producer of this film. Talk to us about that process. And I would imagine, you know, finding the funding and the financing and getting the people together to do something like this, I imagine it was a pretty treacherous and arduous path.
Yes, to be honest with you, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into at the beginning. I just knew that I wanted to make a movie and I knew that I wanted to have complete control where nobody can tell me you can and cannot say that in the script because it will offend that person. And I'm not here to care about who I'm going to offend. I'm here to tell a story. So I wrote the original story, kind of like the backbone of the film. And then I hired a writer who actually became a friend of mine and a producer on the film, who's absolutely amazing, named Will Hirschfeld. And he developed the story and made it into something that was absolutely amazing. When I read it, I said, we're going for it. So then I just financed some of it myself. Then I also got people involved as investors who believed in the story, who believed in me. And we ended up making something that I think is going to be very interesting for a lot of people. And it does kind of go against everything that Hollywood wants us to do.
Yeah. And I love that aspect of it. I will also add, you know, being a movie junkie, it's also pretty cinematically beautiful, which is hard to accomplish when you kind of have an independent production team and things like that. So I just want to congratulate you because I think it's going to be a beautiful film, obviously, with beautiful actresses like yourself. And also the story is going to be pretty intriguing, too. So everybody check out Impulse, like she said, on Apple TV. Diana, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Amanda.
We're going to take a very quick commercial break and we'll be back on the other side.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I certainly hope you all enjoyed those interviews. And I just want to wrap things up with a few thoughts. You know, if you are one of those folks who tunes into mine and John's TV show every night, by the way, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on Real America's Voice, you know that oftentimes, unless we have a guest that we are trying to cram in the last block of our show, we like to kind of break down some of the interviews and some of our final thoughts of the day. And so that's what I'm going to do, because Congressman Ralph Norman, like I said at the top, he is one of my favorite folks from Congress to have on our TV show and now on this podcast. He's just a truth seeker and a truth teller. He has that Southern gentleman type thing, obviously coming from the Palmetto State, but he loves this country dearly. And, you know, some of the conversations we were having about the economy, I didn't really have a chance to get into the nitty gritty numbers, but you look at CPI and inflation, and they're actually not the same. They're very similar, and they are derived by some of the same factors, but they are both creeping towards 20% since Joe Biden came into office, at least as far as cumulative inflation. Obviously, month over month, it's not 20%. But we are moving into a phase where Americans have been crushed for so long. I can see it on my neighbors' faces. I can feel it in my community around me. People who just feel like they're being crushed under the weight of their own finances. And it's not because people are spending more. It's not because people are spending frivolously or making irresponsible financial decisions. It's just because things have become so burdensome and so expensive. And eggs, I'm a big egg eater. I absolutely love eggs in practically any form. I love them poached. I love them fried, scrambled, anyway, truly anyway. And they're a great breakfast food, obviously, but I'll eat them anytime, especially deviled, because they are such a great source of protein. But eggs, that was one of the first things that I noticed was getting incrementally more expensive. Well, now eggs are up 52%. Gas is up 42%. I know you all should not feel sorry for me. I live in California and it's my own darn fault. I get it, but it's really bad here. Butter is up 32%. Look, I'm a Southern woman. I literally have a towel in my kitchen that says there is no such thing as too much butter. So if my butter prices are going up, I am feeling it. Beef is up 24%. Bread is up 24%. And new and used cars are up 21%. These are the types of numbers that people are not necessarily looking at, because your average everyday consumer, mom and dad, grandma and granddad, those folks are out there minding their own business, trying to be contributory Americans, trying to make ends meet. So they may not know exactly what the number is with respect to how much more expensive everything is, but they know that when they go to Walmart for their pickup order and they have to hit that minimum of $35 like I do, because going in the Walmart here in Los Angeles is you got to have a death wish. So I always do the pickup, and it's free pickup over $35. And I know that 3 years ago, I would hit that $35 mark with, you know, and sometimes I would top it off. So I made sure I hit the $35 mark with something inexpensive, but something I knew I would eventually use. My husband and I love bubbly water. So I'll, you know, throw in a six pack of bubbly water or something. I know that 3 years ago, $35 worth of stuff in my trunk from Walmart pickup orders would fill half my trunk. Nowadays, they just hand it to me through the driver's side window. Why? Because it's like two bags worth of stuff. People notice that type of thing, and that's the kind of thing that they're going to go to the polls to. I also wanted to bring up what the congressman was saying about FISA. Look, FISA needs to be a much more serious conversation among voters, because I don't think that people really realize how invasive it is and how contrary to our Fourth Amendment constitutional values it is. If someone showed up to your front door out of the blue and a guy flashes an FBI badge or a police badge or an ATF badge or whatever the case is, and they demand to come into your house and search your home office or search your bedroom or search your kitchen, you're going to say, excuse me, I need to see a search warrant. Everybody knows that. Everybody would do that. What they are trying to do with FISA, what they have abused through FISA 278,000 verified times, that's what they're doing essentially. They're spying on you. They are going into your business. They don't have a right to do that. As you have seen on Twitter or social media or wherever you hang out online, and multiple Congress people have said this, just get a warrant. If you're not doing anything wrong, if you have just cause to listen to the communications or view the communications or be privy to the communications of an American citizen, just get a warrant. And if you can't get a warrant, then you shouldn't be spying on them. And I love that these 19 Republicans voted it down. I don't know what the fate of it is going to be. I wish it would go away along with the Patriot Act, but we all know that after 9/11, people were pretty frightened. And I think that a lot of folks were relatively amenable to the idea of a little bit of spying because we wanted to make sure that another 9/11 didn't happen. That was obviously not wise on our part. But we can do something about it. We can strip it away. We can take away those spying powers of the federal government. We just need a little bit more than 19 Republicans to actually do it. And actually Democrats. Democrats are, you know, obviously you had to have over half the House, and we had that from mostly Democrats and 19 Republicans. And I want to finish up with some thoughts on Diana. I love what she is doing because, like I said at the top of the show, she came into Hollywood with the mentality that a lot of folks do. A lot of young gals and young guys come to Hollywood and they obviously want to achieve fame and fortune, and they want to express their you know, creative skills and talents and things like that. But she looked around herself and she thought, these people don't think the same way that I do. And as you heard from her story, born in Yugoslavia and then growing up in Croatia, she truly appreciates what this country is all about. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. I wish that most of Hollywood was like that, but she's one of these people. She is practicing what she preaches. John and I talk about this on the TV show all the time, creating a parallel economy, creating the competition, because it's not enough to boycott. There are a lot of companies out there that I boycott. But now we actually have replacement companies. If you don't want to buy the commie coffee out there, there are at least half a dozen wonderful coffee brands on Public Square that you can go to. Anything else? I was just on Public Square today looking for 100% soy candles because I started noticing that non-soy candles are gunking up our walls. And apparently, you might have known this, if you're probably smarter than I am, but I didn't realize, unless it is a 100% organic soy wax candle, it's pretty bad for you. And I used to love doing the super smelly candles that would smell up the whole house, and I still do. I actually miss them very much. But I'm having to make the switch over to soy. So I went over on publicsquare.com or the app and found a number of them to buy. And this is what it's about. This is about, you know, finding a conservative company who agrees with you, who believes in the fundamental values of our country and supporting those folks. This parallel economy could not be more important in this day and age. And I encourage you all to go out there and find these companies that do that. It's typically the mom and pop little bitty companies out there, because the major conglomerates, of course, are part of larger, typically liberal organizations. So do that. It's a little thing that you can do to show a little love to our country and to show a little love to the people who care about conservative values in this country. All right, everybody, that is it for us this week. I appreciate all of you joining me again. This is my first week of the podcast, and I am so excited. I feel like it has been a good week. It's been a fun week for me. I hope it's been a fun week for you listening into this podcast again. I'm putting out new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can download those on Apple, on Spotify, anywhere that you find your podcasts. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, a safe weekend, and God bless you all. I'll see you on Monday.